This is a fascinating week in Vikings history. Let's talk about it with Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager, former NFL executive of the year. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of the Talk Network. Yep.
I apologize to interrupt you. I just got an email from Brandon. We are adding Tony Hoagland as an ad read just for the month of January. Could you just add that? Before you record, then when you're editing, then during the show, Jim will intro the spot. Yeah, if you could just intro the spot and then leave a couple seconds of silence, I guess I will be editing it in. So if you just want to keep that in mind, if you don't mind.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt. Okay. Let's try this again. Here we go. Yep. Muted.
All right. 3, 2. This is a fascinating week in Vikings history, a very important week in Vikings history. Let's talk about it with Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager, former NFL executive of the year. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of TalkNorth.com. Thank you for listening to the network. We do appreciate it. And thank you to our sponsors, Platinum Bank, White Bear Lake Superstore, and my State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland. Jeff, let's just start. I mean, it's a blank canvas. The Wilfs seem to be interviewing all kinds of interesting candidates for the general manager job. There are a bunch of fascinating names out there for the head coaching position. Just take it from the top. Where do you think things stand? Where do you think the Wilfs are leaning? Where could this all lead?
It's certainly interesting times, as you said, and not surprising that they made the move on Zimmer and Spielman after a disappointing season, exciting season. And I thought even the last game against the Bears was a microcosm of the whole season, the way they played dreadfully in the first half and came back and played great in the second half. And it's just befuddling how the offense could be so stagnant and then all of a sudden explodes for 3 touchdown passes by Cousins. But I think that's part of the issue, the inconsistency of this team that led the Wilfs to make this decision. And it's tough. It's a tough time. And I can certainly sympathize with Zim and with Rick, and I know them both pretty well, and know Rick very well from many years that we worked in the league together for different franchises. And it's a tough decision that had to be made, but I think it at this point in time was the right decision to go in a different direction, try a different approach. And I think that going forward, you think about all the options that the Wilfs have in this situation. And I would certainly endorse, and they haven't hired me as a consultant, by the way, Jim, as the Bears, I think, hired Bill Poley, and I haven't gotten that call yet, but anyway.
Well, they just know they can listen to the podcast and get it all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They can get some free advice. And I would certainly recommend that they move fairly quickly here. And I know that Mark Wilf said they want to take their time. They want to be methodical, but when you've got 7 head coaching positions open, you've got at least 3 GM jobs open, you've got to move fairly quick, and they are. And I think it's the right approach to hire the GM first and let that GM participate and be part of the process in hiring the head coach so that there's a connection there. I think that's important that they're kind of joined at the hip from day one. And I would certainly recommend on the coaching side that they go offense this time. I think it's an offensive-oriented league, and there are, as you said, many, many outstanding candidates around the league that are current offensive coordinators. I think that's still perhaps a better approach than going to college. The college coach coming in here has not proved real successful historically, and there are a lot of really good coaching candidates that are offensive guys, coordinator types, and thinking about guys like Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, Kellen Moore in Dallas, Byron Leftwich in Tampa Bay. I think they will look to the playoff caliber teams. So as we think about the mode of coach to hire a Tomlin, a LaFleur, a McVay type, and there are plenty of excellent candidates in that mode of a player-friendly. And I thought it was really interesting, Jim, the comments of Eric Kendricks and Brian O'Neill, a little surprising, especially from Kendricks, with taking a little bit of a shot, maybe more than a little bit of a shot at Zimmer going out the door, about a fear-based organization under him. And I didn't necessarily perceive that in my time at the facility and at practices. And I also felt that Zim had softened in recent years in terms of making more positive comments about player performance and players. But we're not there every day in meetings, and whether he's ripping players or as Brian O'Neill said, they're not even saying hello, walking by in the hallway, then that's a different type of situation. So I think that's going to resonate with the Wilfs in hearing those comments from a couple of team leaders on defense and the offensive line. And so if they're looking for, which they, I think they should be, is that type of coach. And that is exactly the kind of guy I think that Mike Tomlin is, and Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay and some of the other really successful young, not necessarily even young head coaches, because Mike Tomlin's not so young anymore. It's just having a connection with the players. And that's what I think they'll be looking for. And so it's going to be a really fascinating next month or so as the GM is hired, as the head coach is hired. There are a lot of great candidates, or a lot of great minority candidates, which I think is going to be a positive for the interview process. And I think it's going to be really, as I said, fascinating to watch this all unfold. And then very quickly, as soon as the new GM and head coach are on board, they're going to have to deal right off the bat with Kirk Cousins' contract situation and whether they restructure, whether they do a reduction. His comments are interesting that we can talk about in a minute. And as we head towards the draft and what's going to happen in the future here. But I think it's, from my perspective, I think it's good. It's time for a change in that regard. I think Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman did a lot of really good things here over the years, had a very good level of success from time to time. But I think two straight non-playoff seasons basically spells the doom for almost anybody in this league, as we see by all these openings.
Do you think this is a good job compared to the other general manager and head coaching jobs in the NFL right now?
I think it's the best job available right now. And I say that because of the talent level that's there, and the Wilfs as owners who are stable and patient compared to Steve Ross in Miami and Shad Khan in Jacksonville. I think the Wilfs understand the business. I think they know what they're doing. I think obviously they haven't done a GM coach search in a while, but that'll be a challenge. But I think that they can get the job done as they lean on their people in-house and their people around the league that they know very well in the league office. And so I think it's good not to be hiring a search firm necessarily. I think that can kind of muddy the process and delay the process. And so it's good that they're moving quickly. And yeah, so I think I think things are heading in the right direction.
How do you identify? I think we all have a feel for what a coach brings to the table, because you see coaches working, players talk about them, you see them on the sideline. How do you judge a good general manager candidate? Because it seems like a good general manager could come out of almost any aspect of an organization.
Yeah, I think that's probably more challenging, as you said, to really find the right person. And they've come from all over the map, and some are, shall we say, more capologists, salary cap administrative types, and some are more our former players, as a Lynch in Tampa Bay, or was played at Tampa Bay and in San Francisco, now as the GM. I think some are come out of the player personnel department, or a VP of player personnel, VP of pro personnel. So it's really all over the map. And I think what has to happen is get these people in the room, interview them, get a feel for what kind of leadership they can provide, and what kind of knowledge they have of the league and of this team. And then you have to make the call, and it's not easy, especially with the GM. I think is even more difficult sometimes than the head coaches, who you have some head coach candidates, such as a Doug Peterson, who has a Super Bowl on his resume, and you got some other head coach candidates, such as Todd Bowles, and I don't think they're going to go defense, but he's the Bucs defensive coordinator. And he's been a head coach, not successful, though, at the Jets. He had one good year there. And so it's all over the map. But I think you're right. I think the GM candidates and interviews and hiring a GM is a little more tricky to find that person who can come in, step in, and be successful.
And it's, you know, if you look at both coaches and GMs, it's also fascinating that it's not necessarily the most obvious hires who end up succeeding. And I'm writing a piece about Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin came in as the last person who interviewed for the Steelers head coaching job in 2006-2007. Russ Grimm is a very popular figure in Pittsburgh, assistant head coach. Ken Wisenhunt was their offensive coordinator. Ron Rivera was kind of a fringe candidate at that point. It would have been so easy for the Steelers to hire one of their own people. It would have been very popular. They would have won the press conference, and that person might have had success. Instead, they talked to Tomlin, who at that point was 34 years old, had had 1 year as a coordinator for a losing team, a team that went 6-10. The defense was the middle of the pack. There was no reason on paper to hire Mike Tomlin, but they interviewed him. They just fell in love with him. They hired him, and now he's won a Super Bowl. His winning percentage is one of the best in the NFL. His longevity is one of the best in the NFL. So that, to me, that's the catch, is we could sit here and talk about who might be good, but the best person might be a complete surprise.
Yeah, it definitely could be. Sean McVay was kind of a hire out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, he had some success as a young coordinator. Matt LaFleur had 1 year as an offensive coordinator in Tennessee when the Packers hired him. And so, yeah, I think there can be surprising names, and there can be guys who have been kind of in the candidate pool for a long time, such as a Bieniemy in Kansas City, and people have wondered, why haven't you gotten the job? Why haven't you gotten hired? And just hasn't been the right fit. It kind of happened to Mike Zimmer before he was hired here as a 57-year-old head coach at the time, that he'd had a bunch of interviews and people were wondering, well, why hasn't he been hired? And sometimes owners think, well, if he's been turned down so many times, there must be some kind of flaw. Maybe that's hurt Bieniemy in the past. We'll see. But then you got a guy like Byron Leftwich, and how much credit do you give him for what's happened in Tampa Bay when you got Brady, who's like a coach on the field? You got Bruce Arians, who I think still calls the plays there. I'm not sure about that. And then you have a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator, and basically LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. So how good is Hackett? Do we really know? But we do know that he helped Blake Bortles reach an AFC championship game when he was the coordinator at Jacksonville. So he might be a guy that they take a good hard look at. And Kellen Moore, the young coordinator in Dallas. So there's a lot of really interesting candidates this year. And it's going to be fun to watch. But going back to your earlier question about what's the best coaching position out there, and why I say the Vikings, I think, is the best, because not only the talent level, and you've got some superstar people to build around in Jefferson and Cook, Thielen, Danielle Hunter, if he's healthy. But I think also, as I said, the ownership group is stable, and you got a great stadium situation, a fantastic practice facility, a great fan base. And you also know, looking at the playoffs this year, Jim, there are 7 teams out of 14 that were not playoff teams last year. And so the door can be opened very quickly, and I don't think this team is very far away at all. In fact, how can you say they're far away when one more kick, one more made 37-yard field goal, and they'd be in the playoffs this week going to Tampa Bay? If Joseph had made that kick against Arizona, and they were 9-8 instead of 8-9, they would have beaten Philadelphia out for that last spot.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. This is a talented team. What do you think of Eric Bieniemy as a candidate? Because what I like about him is he has been in Minnesota before. He's worked with the running game, obviously. Now he's been exposed to a great passing game and a great offensive coordinator type in Andy Reid. He's been around different kinds of winning teams. He's experienced, but we don't know exactly how much credit to give him for that offense. So, so how do you calculate all that with Bieniemy?
I like his resume, certainly. What I don't know is, I don't know him personally, so I'd have to be in the room interviewing him to see what his ideas are, to see how he believes in interacting with players and coaches, and what kind of collaborative effort he believes in. But I like his resume. I like the fact that he's worked for winning teams. He's got a little bit of a Viking background and had some success in the league too as a player. And I think players react to that and respect that. So there are a lot of positives about Eric Bieniemy. I just don't know him personally to say if he's the guy over a Leftwich, over a Kellen Moore, over a Eberflus at Indy, but he's a defensive guy. Jim Caldwell's an interesting guy who's had some success, but he's older. I don't see them going that direction. Brian Flores, a lot of people were very surprised around the league when he was let go by Miami, and he's a guy that's, I think, is going to get a job. And the Bears, I think, have already interviewed him. But again, he's a defensive guy. I would go offense, and in order to take maximum advantage of the great skill people they've got on this team.
Know who scares me as a candidate, and you just mentioned him, Kellen Moore. Cowboys have not won anything. They have exceptional offensive talent. They have a huge, talented offensive line, and they just always seem to kind of let you down. I just don't know how much credit we give Kellen Moore. I mean, that offense produces a lot of yards, but they also have just a fleet of great receivers. They have an excellent tight end. They have two really good running backs. They have a really multi-talented quarterback who's put up huge numbers. I just don't know how much credit to give Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I think you're right. And again, very young. It's his third year as a coordinator this year, and they had their ups and downs. And part of that was Dak Prescott's inconsistency, and part of that perhaps coming off his injured year. I think they're going to be a team that will be watched very closely in the playoffs. If they bomb out in the first round against San Francisco, for example, I think the bloom will be a little bit off Kellen Moore's rose. But if they have a little bit of a playoff run, that'll raise his stock a little bit. So, again, not knowing him personally, have to get in the interview situation with him and see if he's ready. And I think you have to be very careful with these really young guys. And you may find a McVay out of the bunch, but you may not. And I think that was one of the big problems this year with Quinn Kubiak, honestly. I think that he was very inconsistent as a coordinator, very inconsistent in his play calling. They'd forget about Jefferson for games at a time. Now, how much of that was on Kubiak, how much it was on Cousins, we don't really know necessarily. But I think that, to me, Kubiak was a big part of Mike Zimmer's undoing this year. I think he made a mistake in hiring him as the coordinator, thinking that the transition from Gary Kubiak to Quinn Kubiak would be seamless. It wasn't. And I think that's part of the problem this year, why they didn't win three or four more games that they should have won. And I'll also make a point, Jim, too. I do believe that even if they'd snuck in the playoffs at 9-8, and perhaps gone down to Tampa Bay and gotten beat this weekend, I still think the Wolves might have made this move just to make a change if they didn't feel like the team had reached its maximum potential. And we don't know if that's true, and perhaps they would have gone on a little playoff run. But that's kind of my feeling about it.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, you probably have better sources on that than me, but I certainly tend to agree with you on that. Let's talk about Cousins, and let's talk about the NFL games this weekend. But first, Jeff, tell us about White Bear Lake Superstore, which, of course, can be found at whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my great friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Guttrell. They're a great staff. Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection. And with their super friendly premium team, check out their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and you'll see great selection of pickup trucks and GMC and Buick SUVs. New 2021 and 2022 Buick SUVs, including the stylish Encore GX, a 0% APR offer up to 72 months, plus $250 purchase allowance for current Buick or GMC owner lessees, and a 0% APR offer on most 21 and 22 GMC models, including the Sierra 1500 Crew Cab, the Acadia, and Terrain, with purchase allowances. And reserve your all-electric Hummer EV. The Wiper Lake Superstore is also the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They're a certified elite dealer. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in Wiper Lake or online at wiperlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And Jeff, tell us about Platinum Bank.
Platinum Bank, our great new sponsor. Is your bank a partner or simply a provider? In today's environment, businesses and individuals need a bank that can move quickly and act creatively. Platinum Bank understands the Twin Cities market, partnering with clients to overcome the challenges, capitalize on opportunities, and helping Twin Cities execs to grow their businesses. Platinum Bank's financial products are tailored to meet the unique needs of your organization and solve your problems, not create them. I am a very happy Platinum Bank client and account holder. Have personally experienced tremendous customer service working with Market President Nate Erfer and VP Drew Lynch. To learn how Platinum Bank can be an asset to your business, visit www.platinumbankmn.com. Platinum Bank, providing a means to a dream.
So Kirk Cousins, you brought him up earlier. He's fascinating to analyze as a player. He's also fascinating to analyze as an asset. If you're coming in as a new general manager or coach, is it a positive that you have a veteran quarterback who's accurate sitting there waiting for you? Or is it a negative that he has a huge cap hit that you probably can't move him even if you want to, and that you have no successor and he's on a one-year deal?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, really. And that's the kind of the question of Kirk Cousins historically here in Minnesota. Is he part of the solution or part of the problem? I think he really had a very good year. I think people underplay his contributions this year. I think a lot of those games that they could have won, he brought them back. Thinking about Arizona, Cincinnati early in the year, even Detroit, just several games that he brought, put them in position to win. The defense would fall apart, give up a late drive as they did in Detroit. And is he perfect? No. But I do believe he's close to the top 10 in quarterbacks, especially in terms of accuracy, in terms of his ability. Leadership-wise, it's a mixed bag and a little up and down. I think the whole vaccination thing was a big issue this year for him and for the organization. And he wasn't alone. Several other team leaders were in that same boat. And so I do think the comments that he made immediately after the season that he would be willing to listen to any discussion about a salary cap reduction from that $45 million or a restructure, whatever the case may be, and that he wants to be here. He's really never made those kind of comments before that he'd be willing to entertain some discussion on that. And he's a really smart guy, and I think he sees that maybe getting traded somewhere else or getting release, which I don't think he'd ever be released outright, but if he was traded, he has to start over. He's got kids here. They're happy here. It's tough for players to uproot, and I know that from our players at IFA and the Asian firm who have to leave and go someplace else, and especially if they have families, it's difficult. So I think that's a positive that the new GM can deal with that and talk to his agent and talk to Kirk about it. From my standpoint, Jim, I would endorse keeping him one more year, not saying it's a one-year deal, but keeping him one more year and drafting a guy high. And I know this is not necessarily the draft that has all these quarterbacks rated in the top 10, but things can change as you go through the draft process too. And there's some really interesting prospects, and that if they, and we'll be talking about those in the months to come, but if they could, and it may not be at number 12. There may not be a quarterback worthy of that high pick at number 12. Maybe there is. But perhaps even in the second round, maybe there's a quarterback. And I think they don't even have a second rounder right now, but maybe perhaps they do at this point, or maybe they'll get one. And draft a young guy to compete with Kellen Mond and think about maybe in a year or so you make the transition. And you get into a situation then when you have the less expensive quarterback, when you can, and that's where teams have made hay such as the Chiefs with Mahomes early in his career, the Seahawks when Russell Wilson was there, and they built the great defense there because he was making so little money as the starting quarterback. Those are the teams that really have an edge in terms of building around that young quarterback. And so I'm not ready to throw Kirk Cousins out because I still think he's a good NFL quarterback. And I'm not sure they're going to, in this initial year of 2022, find someone better than him that can throw to Justin Jefferson for 1,600 yards, that can throw to Adam Thielen for 10 touchdowns in whatever 11 games that Adam played this year. And KJ Osborne came on. Tyler Conklin came on as a tight end, and you bring, if you can re-sign Tyler and have Irv Smith as the two tight ends, that'll be a big improvement over who was playing with Conklin last year, because I like Tyler's future. I think there's a lot of good things that can happen. I think Cousins can still be effective here and then work on that defense. I also think, Jim, that when we talk about Mike Zimmer, and Mike Zimmer, yes, he had no control over injuries to Hunter and Michael Pierce, who missed half the season. He had no control over COVID cases disrupting his team. But what he can control and what he could have controlled is defensively, and he's a secondary guru. Well, you got to explain to me how the slot corner, Mackenzie Alexander, winds up in single coverage on two of the best receivers in the league, Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams, on several big plays in the losses of the Rams and Packers that knocked him out of it. That third and six to Kupp on the last drive in the Rams game, that sticks in my craw. And McKenzie's chasing him and falling down. And then the touchdown pass to Kupp in that game, and Davante Adams on several plays. And then at halftime, they switch up and have Patrick Peterson shadowing Adams and quiet him down. That should have been the strategy from the start. So I don't understand how some of those things took place either this year.
Very good points to make, Jeff. Let's get to some NFL games. It's going to be a great weekend of football watching. Do want to thank my State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland, who's been advertising on Talk North for years.
This is your State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland. For the year of 2022, we will be donating $10 to the University of Minnesota Children's Masonics Hospital for everyone that calls our office or checks in with us online and mentions that they heard about us on Talk North. You can reach us at 763-421-4900. You can find us on the web at champlininsurance.com. Again, 763-421-4900, or find us on the web at champlininsurance.com.
All right, let's get to the games. Let's do quick picks on each one, and then if you have something you really want to say about a team or a matchup, then we'll go a little more in depth. But let's start with Vegas at Cincinnati, Cincinnati giving 5.
I'm kind of excited about this game. The Raiders are really one of the crazy stories of the season with their interim coach, and I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Bisucci or something like that.
Tony.
And the success that he had after Gruden was fired, and I was never a big John Gruden guy in the first place. And so I'd kind of like to see this interim guy have a little playoff success. But I love Joe Burrow. I love watching him play. I love the moxie that he plays with and the confidence. And so I think that I'm going to pick the Bengals in this game, but I like the Raiders to cover those 5.5.
I'll take Cincinnati and give the points. I think this is Burrow's coming out party, and Vegas is all tired and beat up, and Cincinnati's just better. All right, Patriots at Buffalo. Buffalo giving 4.
This is a game I'm really excited about. They're predicting below zero wind chills, which are never fun, but it's kind of fun to watch those games. And if there's a little snow blowing around Buffalo, that'd be kind of fun too. They split their regular season matchups, with Buffalo winning the most recent game, but New England winning in Buffalo, and that particular night when they ran the ball, all except for, I think, 3 passes that Mac Jones threw. I think this is really going to be a fascinating game, and watching Belichick throw all his stuff at Josh Allen. I'm excited about watching this game. I'm going to take New England plus the 4. I think Buffalo finds a way to win, but I think it's going to be really close.
Once again, we disagree. I will take Buffalo. I think New England has already kind of used all their mojo, all their magic, all the craziness. I think now it's just down to who's the better team. I think Buffalo is a far better team. Philadelphia at Tampa. Tampa giving 8.5.
I remember last year Tampa had a little trouble with Washington in the first round, and it was a close game. And perhaps they overlooked Washington at that point in time, and perhaps they'll overlook Philly in this particular game and look to the next matchup against maybe the Rams or Dallas as they head towards a potential return to Lambeau Field to face the Packers, maybe in an NFC Championship game. I think Philadelphia, the Vikings were a better team than the Eagles this year. The Vikings should be in that spot going to Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay wins this one, even though they're all beat up. I still think Tampa Bay handles the Eagles, wins by 10.
I agree Tampa should win this game. I'm going to take the points, though. I'll take Philadelphia because I think they'll be able to run the ball well enough to keep it somewhat close. I can see a backdoor cover there. San Francisco at Dallas, to me, the best game of the weekend. 49ers coming off a really good victory against the Rams, looking like they're peaking. Dallas, we just don't know about. Dallas giving 3 points. What do you think?
Ooh, that's a tough one. And, yeah, I'm a little skeptical of the Cowboys, too, with their up-and-down performance. And the 49ers have risen up, and they've got some relatively recent playoff success. I think that I'm going to take San Francisco to find a way to win this game, or at least certainly cover those 3 points. And I think you're right. This is a really good matchup, one of my favorite games this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. I will take that exact pick, San Francisco to at least cover. Pittsburgh, a battered team that Mike Tomlin somehow got into the playoffs, at Kansas City. Kansas City giving a remarkable 12.5 points in a playoff game.
Yeah, I do think the Chiefs will win this game relatively easily, but I think that's a lot of points for a playoff game, and all the pressure's on the Chiefs. The Steelers have to feel like they're playing with house money, and Roethlisberger on his last hurrah. I'll take Pittsburgh to beat that spread, but Kansas City still to win by, say, a touchdown to 7 to 10 points.
My gut tells me Kansas City's going to blow them out. I will give 12.5 points. I can't believe I'm giving 12.5 points in any circumstance like this, but I'm going to. Arizona at Los Angeles Rams. Rams giving 3.5.
Now, this is more interesting since we agreed on all the picks last week, Jim. This is a little more interesting. That we're on a little bit opposite sides this week. I think the Cardinals they did beat the Rams a couple weeks ago, but they certainly have sputtered towards the finish this season. I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins, what his status is, but I just feel like the Rams, even though I'm a little skeptical about Matthew Stafford too, that he's been shaky this year. And I guess the more I think about it, and again, they split in regular season, the more I think about it, give me Arizona plus the 4. I think the Rams win this game, but I don't see 4 points. I think that's a lot.
I'm with you on this one. I think Arizona is the – I don't trust Stafford. He's either hurt or what even being scarier is if he's not hurt and playing this way, he's just turning the ball over too much. I think Arizona takes advantage and wins this one. It's going to be a great weekend to watch football, a great weekend plus Monday night to watch football. And, of course, here we will be back next week with Jeff Diamond's Vikings NFL Insider, also my show with John Krasinski called the Viking Update Show, analyzing all the Vikings moves. Let's get a final thought from Jeff. Once again, thanks to Platinum Bank, White Bear Lake Superstore, and State Farm agent Tony Hoagland.
Yeah, I think as we put a bow on the 2021 season for the Vikings and kind of have our post-mortem thoughts, to me, you just had to figure it was going to end up this way. One more win, and the Vikings would have made the playoffs ahead of Philadelphia. And you just think about all the opportunities they had this season and going back to the missed kick in Arizona and the fumble in Cincinnati, letting a backup quarterback beat you with Dallas. Cameron Dantzler backpedaling into the end zone in Detroit. Just so many games that they could have won and easily been a 10-win team this year and still would have Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman in their positions potentially at least going into playoff week. It's just you had to figure it was going to end this way. And I always thought that even in the beginning of the season, those losses are going to come back to haunt this team, and they did.
Yeah, even if they if Dalvin Cook doesn't fumble in Cincinnati, maybe the entire season's different. That's why all those close games are so interesting to analyze. Good stuff from Jeff. Thank you also to our producer, Breanne Burnett. I should have mentioned her earlier. She's our newest producer at TalkNorth.com. She's handling this show and a number of others. So welcome to Breanne. Thanks to Jeff, and we will talk to you next week.